I'm just going to share with you my testimony. And I am a South African, even though I sound, I don't have to have that thick accent. My wife says I sound a little bit silly if I speak with a South African accent. You won't be able to understand most of what I say. Did anybody understand? All right. But I am a South African, born, raised, and I grew up there. And my first language is Afrikaans. And if I make a few mistakes in English, please forgive me. But to share you my testimony, I grew up in a Christian home. And I had God-fearing parents, and they took us to church on Sunday. And I was in Sunday school, and I learned my verses. And I thought, well, you know, being a good boy, that's all I need to do to be saved. And I was taught a Sunday school lesson on Adam and Eve and how their sin separated them from God. And I knew that without accepting Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, doesn't matter how good a person I am, doesn't matter how good a life I live, that would not save me, but only by accepting Jesus Christ as my Savior. So at the age of 12, I accepted the Lord as my Savior. And when I turned 16, I was baptized. And I was standing up next to the pastor, and I gave my testimony. And the pastor asked me, Dion, do you see yourself serving the Lord one day? And I was 16, and you know, you're standing in front of the church, you have to say something. I said, well, maybe one day I'll become a youth pastor or something, I said. And in the years that followed, I served the Lord in a small ministry in a slum. After church, we'd have a service there, and I would teach Sunday school, but never saw myself as serving the Lord full time. And in 2007, I met Michelle, and I'll tell you that story a little bit later in the beginning of the sermon. But we met, and we went and helped at a small church plant, a lot smaller than this one. This is a nice big church. We went there and saw the need for pastors to be trained for the Afrikaans-speaking people. There was no people that were trained. We wanted to serve the Lord, and the Lord worked in my heart, and by reading His Word, and as it happens, I read quite a few verses in Isaiah. I know it says, "Whom shall I send, and who shall go for me?" And here I am, Lord, send me. And also the verses where it says, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the gospel and the good news. And so the Lord worked in my heart, and in my life that year, our first year of marriage, and I went to Michelle and said, well, I need to be trained to serve the Lord full time. And she, of course, was over the moon, because she was praying for someone that she would marry that would serve the Lord. And it took a year, but her prayer was answered. And she was always encouragement to me, and I went down to Cape Town and studied and finished my degree in theology and an internship at one of the local churches down there, and wanting to plant new Bible-preaching, Bible-believing churches in South Africa to the Afrikaans people. And there's a short video there that Ben will play, and then once it's done, I'll share the message with you. And then I say thank you for your prayers and your love for the souls of men and women in South Africa. I'd like us all to turn to Ephesians chapter 4. And we'll be sharing from God's Word out of Ephesians. I enjoy the church being so close in, because I can speak to you more personally and you're not way off somewhere. I feel like I'm disassociated from everybody. Well, I'm going to start off by telling you a little bit more about Michelle and I wish I still looked like that. Michelle still looks like. And I'm going to tell you about the night I asked her to marry me. And I want the reason why I'm telling you this story is to get us in into perspective of what our role is as believers to the gifts God gave us. And it was the year 2007, and 2 weeks before the date, the 26th of April, I went to a jeweler. And all young men, you need to, when somebody takes you past the jewelry store and they say, well, this is the kind of ring I like, and that's the diamond cut, you better listen. And I listened real well, and I went to the jeweler and asked him, well, I heard Michelle likes this kind of ring. Could you please make it for me? And the gentleman said to me, that's fine. I'll be have it ready for you in 2 weeks' time. And Michelle was going to leave on the 27th of April to visit her parents. So it was the 26th. It's now or never that I was going to ask her to marry me. And I had booked a table at a local restaurant. And I took her out that evening. I picked her up, and I have the ring in my pocket, and it feels like burning a hole in my leg. And I asked the lady at the restaurant, would you please just, we'd like a table on the side, and just, it's for a special occasion, which I shouldn't have said. We walked into the restaurant, and the lady had all these candles and flowers on the table, and I think, oh, Michelle's going to know what's going on right away. And I have this limp because I'm walking with this ring in my pocket. And we walk in, we sit down, and we order our meals. And Michelle asks me, are you all right? I'm fine. And I order my meal, and she orders her, and I wolf my food down because I'm so nervous. And she eats all prim and proper, and when we're finished with our dessert, I took her out to there's gardens outside and beautiful scenery. I took her outside, and the romantic person that I am, I tell Michelle, look at how beautiful the moon is tonight. And she looked up, which was a good thing. And I went down on my knee, and I opened the ring box, and I asked her, Michelle, would you marry me? And as she said yes, a big semi-truck came barreling by. And I asked her again, because I didn't hear her say yes. I said, Michelle, would you marry me? And she said, yes, I said yes. And she put the ring on her finger. I put the ring on her finger. And she phoned up her friends, her family. She was jumping up and down with excitement. And me, of course, I was dead tired because I had all this planned. I went to bed at 8 that night, and she phoned everybody till the middle, you know, the next morning almost. And the reason why I tell you this story is we have received gifts from God Himself. And if you can imagine your pastor here with a little string and a little bow on his head, we're going to talk about him as a gift to you this morning. And talk about missionaries that were given to us, evangelists that were given to us. Before we open God's Word, let's close our eyes in prayer first. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this wonderful day, and we thank You that we can be here together studying Your Word, and we ask that we will see not a person standing in front of them, but we will see the Word of the Lord working through me. And I ask that we will look at these words that You've written to us, and that we will apply them to our lives, and that we will live them out. I ask that You will be with us in this time, and ask that You bless Your Word. We ask this all in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Now, I want you the whole time to remember that you are excited about getting a gift. All right? Now, I know it's hard for the family because you think, oh, my dad is a gift from God, all right? So I see them all smiling. They're having a hard time with this concept. But let us read Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8, and we're going to read up to verse 12. And I'm reading from the King James. That's the version I have with me. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So I want you to think of your pastor as a gift package from God. And today I'm going to only focus on the evangelist and the pastor. And we're going to look at a few roles of what the evangelist, and I would say I would almost, if I can, have the word evangelist equal missionary. And we're going to see the two different roles they have, but how they work together as well as one. And for me, the first part of an evangelist, what is his main goal? He is to win souls for the Lord. Go out and share the gospel, good news, to those who haven't heard it before. The second thing is, he is to disciple young or new believers so that they can grow in the Lord. The third thing, and as many of us would know, I have a personal experience from this, is evangelist would direct someone who doesn't have a local church. He would direct them to a local church so that they can learn from God's word and grow. And then the one thing that I didn't mention is evangelist is to plant new churches in areas where there isn't any Bible-believing or Bible-preaching churches. And I would like us to turn to another passage, and it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And we're going to read from verse 4 to verse 10. And I'm reading this verse to let us see that there's a partnership between a pastor and an evangelist, or a church planter in my case. And verse 4 says, "For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who then is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed. Even as the Lord gave to every man, I have planted, and Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are co-laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace which is given unto me as a wise master builder, Paul says, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereupon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay that is laid which is in Jesus Christ." And we always see missionaries and as someone, or evangelists, as somebody that's on the forefront, on the front lines, breaking new ground. And we see here Paul says, I laid the foundation, but the pastor, he's the one that built on that foundation. And so for us, a pastor, his role, turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. And we need to I'll go over to the slide there. The gifts are those men, but what is the role of the pastor? And I know it's Paul speaking again, but he says, look at my life. The pastor is to be someone who's an example to his congregation. And Paul writes to Timothy, who's a young pastor. He says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience. persecution, afflictions which came unto me at Iconium, at Antioch and at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. And we see here that the pastor is to be someone who's an example for his congregation. And I don't know about you, but I have, in my testimony, my many years, I had pastors who encouraged me to serve the Lord. I had evangelists in my life who were encouragement to me. And I didn't know they were a gift from God to me personally, but they were there to show that example to me in my life. And I'm very thankful and grateful for the gift that I received from those men that helped train me. And I know Mr. Dave Brown, is, if you know him, he was a great encouragement to me in my life as a young believer to serve the Lord full time. And another role of the pastor, 2 Timothy chapter 4, just a page further. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2 and 3. Another role of the pastor. It says, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. We are to stand fast in our faith and stand fast in what we believe as pastors and missionaries and be an example to others. But what is our role as the recipients? All right, and this goes over to recipients. But I have a picture up there. A little boy. And that was at Christmas time. He opened the gifts up that he was so excited to open the gifts. And once he opened them up, he was a little bit confused about, well, what do I do with them? And I won't pick on you. Many people would think of me as, okay, what do I do with this missionary? What do I do with them? And we turn to God's word and see our responsibility as believers. We can ask ourselves a few questions. And I wrote the questions down. It says, how can I be better trained to be a soul winner? Can I learn that from my pastor? Can I learn that from the evangelist? The second question is, how can I pray and serve others more effectively in my church? Need to ask ourselves that question. The other question I have is, what do I need to do to be able to train and disciple new believers? Can I learn that from my pastor? As a recipient, that's my responsibility. The fourth thing is, how can I comfort, care, and even sometimes confront those that I need to confront or comfort? How do I see that? Do I see that in my pastor? And I'm sure you do. We need to ask ourselves as the recipients of these gifts, I need to use pastor more. I need to come to him more, ask him questions. Maybe not phone him up in the middle of the night all the time, but use him. He's a gift. Just as Ruan, he didn't know what to do with it at first, and once we got him started, he could not stop. Are we excited about this gift that we're receiving? And what is the tool that we use? And the tool is God's Word. And it's also in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. The main tool. It says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And we need to, I say it always as we can listen to our pastor, but we need to test it against God's Word and what God's Word says. And the reason why we share the Word is because we know it's profitable and we know it's good for us to read God's Word. And then I go over to the next part. If we can turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to, I know it says verse 17 there, but I want to read verse 15. And why did God give us these gifts in the first place? He gave apostles, He gave prophets, He gave evangelists, He gave pastors and teachers. Why did He give us these gifts? And why do we, as recipients of these gifts, why did He give us these things? And He gave us these things so that we can bear fruit. And we read in verse 15 of Philippians, and this is written to them as a commendation on their account. It says, "Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once again unto my necessity." And verse 17 is the heart, Michelle and I's heart for serving the Lord. And it's not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit. And many people don't realize that when you send and support a missionary, you have part in the fruit that they bear. When somebody gets saved in their ministry, you have a part in that. You have a very big deal in that. But so Paul says here, "Not because I desire a gift, but as I desire fruit that may abound on your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received Epaphroditus." And sometimes they send people on a mission trip, send them to help them. And here, this church sent Epaphroditus. And what does the Lord, what does Paul say of this? "The things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, sacrifice acceptable and well pleasing to God." So we are part of that. We are a sweet smell sacrifice to the Lord, that what we share, and we have a part in this fruit that people bear. We might not be able to do that. We might have another ministry in our lives, but we sure have a part in that. And so I want us this morning just to realize that these men, I would say gifted men, gifted people that God gave us, that we need to be excited because we have a part in their ministry. We have to be excited because we can come to them and ask them to help us to grow in the Lord so that we can bear fruit in our own lives as well. And that's what I was wanting to share with you all this morning. And there's one more verse, if I have it here with me. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. And it goes with verse 17 of Philippians. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 says, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and which he soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully. Every man according to as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity." The Philippians didn't give, we have to give this to Paul. They gave it to him because they know it was furthering the gospel. And nothing more. "For God loveth a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." He had all sufficiency, not more or what he wanted. God gave him just what he needed. Nothing more, nothing less. Let's close our eyes in prayer as we close. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for the gifts you've given us. And Lord, we thank you, first of all, for the greatest gift that you've given us. You gave us your Son who died on the cross to pay the price for our sins. And Lord, we ask that if there is anyone here today, that they would receive this gift that's for free, that they will accept you as their Savior and know that they are lost and without you. Then, Lord, we thank you for the many other things that you've given us. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that you sent us to comfort us. We thank you for these men that you've given us, I thank you for the ones that you've put in my life, and I thank you for the pastor here that you've given to these people here. Lord, I thank you for your goodness and your mercy and your blessings on us. And we, Lord, I ask that you will bless this church, bless their pastor, and know that we all want to bear fruit, and that we will one day be able to say, stand in front of you, and you would say to us, well done, my good and faithful servant. Lord, those are the words that we all strive to hear one day. Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for your word, and ask that when we leave this place, that we will be witnesses and a testimony to you, and that we will be a gift to the lost world out there, that they will also hear of the great gift that you've given them. You paid the price for their sins, your Son, Jesus Christ. We ask this all in his wonderful name. Amen.